The 10th of March 1965 is not a day that most Celtic fans would immediately identify as one of great significance. And yet that date is one of the most momentous in the club's history. A Celtic team went to Airdrie, beating the home side 6-0. Bertie Auld took the plaudits, scoring 5 of these goals. However, that wasn't the noteworthy aspect. Instead, this was Jock Steen's first game as Celtic manager. The man who would go on to become a club legend, revered as Celtic's greatest ever boss, announced his arrival with a big win, an early sign of the success he was to bring to Glasgow's East End. Jock Steen was born on the 5th of October 1922. He was brought up in Burnbank in Hamilton. After leaving Greenfield School in Hamilton, Steen worked briefly in a carpet factory, before moving on to become a miner. Although he found employment in Lanarkshire's mines, Steen had dreams of becoming a footballer. He played as a centre-half, first turning out for Blantyre Victoria, but then spent 8 years at Albion, Rovers and Coatbridge. He also played for Dundee United during the Second World War. In 1950, Jock Steen increased his footballing involvement. Prior to this date, he had played football alongside working. Now he moved to Wales and became a full-time professional footballer. He spent 2 years playing for Llanelli. However, financial problems at the club, and the fact that Steen's house in Hamilton had been burgled, meant he wanted a return to Scotland. As a result, in 1951, he took what would be a momentous step in his life. Following a recommendation from Celtic's reserve team trainer Jimmy Gribben, Steen moved to Celtic Park. He was originally supposed to be a reserve, but soon found himself in the first team owing to injuries, and it was a position he kept. Signing for Celtic brought certain personal problems to Steen. He came from a Protestant background. In fact, Steen himself said that he grew up in an Orange family. As a result, many people that he had known for years refused to speak to him when he went to Parkhead. In addition, he sometimes faced negative comments from Catholic people about his religion. Steen spent 6 years playing at Celtic Park, eventually becoming captain. Although the 1950s were not Celtic's most celebrated years, he was part of the boys' successes of the era, including captaining the club to the famous Coronation Cup victory in 1953. He was also a League and Scottish Cup winner as a player. However, by the mid-1950s, Jock was facing serious injury problems. This made it impossible to play, and 1956 was the last year he turned out for Celtic, although did not formally retire until January of 1957. At this point, Steen knew that he wanted to move into coaching. It made sense for him to continue to do this at the club he came to think of as home. In fact, he once remarked that, "Unlike many Celts, I cannot claim that Celtic was my first love, but I can say that it will be my last love." Jock Steen's coaching career began at Celtic, looking at the reserves and youth team. He was clearly a forceful character and persuaded the Celtic board to purchase Barrowfield to use as a training ground. And under his leadership, the reserves enjoyed trophy success too. However, this wasn't enough for Steen. He was not content with simply overseeing reserve games and wanted to be a first-team manager. His first chance to do so would take him to Fife. In 1960, Jock Steen took charge at Dunfermline. He had a very positive impact, saving them from relegation in his first season. And then in the second year, there was even better news, although not for Celtic. In 1961, Steen steered the Pars to their first ever Scottish Cup win. This involved beating Celtic 2-0 in the final, in a replayed match. Given Celtic's lack of success in trophies at this time, this was a clear reminder of what they were missing. In fact, Jock's abilities were widely admired. As such, in 1964, he was persuaded to become manager of Hibernian. Despite eventually spending less than a year in Edinburgh, he enjoyed some success, winning the Summer Cup shortly after he took charge. But the fact he'd moved to Edinburgh didn't mean that others did not still covet him for their own managerial position. By 1965, Celtic were struggling under manager Jimmy McGrory. The club's all-time top scorer was a legend on the pitch, but struggling as a manager. By the 60s, Celtic had not won the League or Scottish Cup since 1954, and in fact they hadn't had any major trophy since 1957, which was the 7-1 League Cup win over Rangers. The Celtic board believed that Jock Stein was the answer to these problems, the man who could change this. As a result, in early 1965, Stein was offered the Celtic manager's position. On the 9th of March 1965, he became only the fourth man to have this title. And by the following day, he had his first win, that big 6-0 victory over Airdrie. When it came to trophy success, Jock had an instant impact on Celtic. The following month, in April 1965, the boys won the Scottish Cup. They beat Stein's old team Dunfermline in an exciting 3-2 fixture, a game in which the boys had twice come from behind to win. 1965 was also a big year for Jock Stein for another managerial reason. He was appointed as part-time manager of Scotland, overseeing attempts to qualify for the 1966 World Cup. Although Scotland did not get to these finals, he had one big success, beating Italy 1-0. However, this was not yet the time for Stein to be devoted to international management on a full-time basis, and so he left the role to focus on Celtic. This was achieved to great effect. Under Stein, Celtic grew in stature. They built on the 1965 Scottish Cup win, and in 1966, the league flag again flew over Celtic Park because the boys were champions for the first time in 12 years. That same season, they also reached the semis of the European Cup Winners' Cup. Despite winning at Parkhead, they were controversially knocked out by Liverpool, stopping them reaching the final and possibly winning their first European trophy. However, this would certainly not be a permanent situation. The 1966 title win ensured that Celtic entered the 66-67 European Cup, the first time they had competed in this competition. It was, of course, a path that led to Stein's greatest day. His team marched through the rounds before defeating Inter Milan in Lisbon in May 1967. As Bill Shankly then told him, "John, you're a mortal now." And this was especially the case when in the same season the boys had completed their first ever domestic treble and added the Glasgow Cup too for good measure. This victory in Lisbon led to one of Celtic's most controversial games. The boys played Argentinian side Racing Club in the Intercontinental Cup final. After drawing over two legs, Celtic lost a violent replay in Uruguay, which saw six players being ordered off. Celtic were a true European superpower when Stein managed them. Twice more, in 1972 and 1974, the boys reached the European Cup semi-finals. And in 1970, they went to Milan to play Feyenoord in the final, although lost out 2-1. Interestingly, this was an issue which would later see many of the players criticise Jock Stein, suggesting he had underestimated the Dutch side. As well as European success, Celtic enjoyed massive dominance in Scotland under Stein's leadership. The boys won a then world record of 9 titles in a row between 1966 and 1974. In total, Stein would win 10 titles, 8 Scottish Cups and 6 League Cups, and of course, one European Cup as well. But there was also adversity and tragedy during his time at Celtic. He managed the boys on the 2nd of January 1971, the day of the Ibrox disaster, which cost the lives of 66 Rangers fans. Stein put aside any thoughts of rivalry to help the injured on that tragic day. And then, in 1975, Stein faced arguably his greatest personal challenge, something that happened off the park. When returning from a holiday, he was in a near-fatal car crash. This kept him out of the dugout for the entire 1975-76 season, meaning that assistant boss Sean Fallon had to take temporary charge. Stein was revered by Celtic's fans, but also at times came into conflict with them. On different occasions, the Celtic boss criticised some of the chants that were heard from the terraces, doing so in interviews and programme notes. He once even went into the crowd at a game to remonstrate with supporters. By the late 1970s, Jock's time at Celtic was clearly coming to an end, and by the summer of 1978, Billy McNeil took over as manager. He had been the man that Stein believed was best placed to lead the Hoops. However, it wasn't an exit without controversy. Stein was offered the chance to be a Celtic director, which he initially accepted, before ultimately declining. Various claims were made that he felt insulted by the specific role that he was expected to fulfil, and the club and their greatest manager parted ways following a testimonial in August 1978. but this was very much far from the end of Jock Steen's time as manager. By the end of the year, he'd actually got two more jobs. After leaving Celtic, Steen became Leeds United boss. This was an appointment greeted with excitement in the English city, but it proved to be only a short-term destination. Jock could not settle at Leeds, and after only 10 games and 44 days, he had departed Elland Road. This was possibly partly because he had his eye on another job. By October 1978, Steen was again back as a manager, this time a Scotland boss, on a full-time basis. He would spend 7 years in the job, which included qualifying for the World Cup finals in 1982 and eventually 1986. But despite this latter success, the 1986 World Cup was not a tournament he could attend. On the 10th of September 1985, Scotland went to Ninian Park in Wales for a World Cup qualifier. The Scots needed a draw to achieve a playoff place, and they did this, drawing 1-1 with their hosts. However, as the match ended, Steen had a heart attack. He was supposed to take medication, but had not done so beforehand in case the effects of it interfered with match preparations. And so, in an event that shocked the football world, he died at the ground, aged only 62. It's difficult to fully express Jock Steen's impact, not only on Celtic, but on the wider footballing world. He oversaw a Celtic side that dominated, not simply in Scotland, but also reached Europe's pinnacle as well. And they did so playing attractive and exciting football that made the name Celtic revered around the world. Jock Steen remains a legendary figure, well remembered by everyone connected with Celtic as the club's greatest manager. His name adorns one of the club's stands, and his statue stands proudly at the front of Celtic Park. His achievements ensure that, as Bill Shankly once predicted, he is indeed immortal. If you want to learn more about Celtic history, follow Hail Hail History on Twitter X and Blue Sky. You can also take part in a free Celtic walking tour. Visit celticwalkingtours.wordpress.com for more information.